Stepping Stones Podcast. Hello everyone, welcome to our podcast. Our focus is to empower women in business world, exploring unconventional career choices and providing tips, tricks and strategies you need to build your businesses with consistency, skill and above all persistence. I'm your host Sophia and I'm thrilled to bring to you our today's guest. Today I'm absolutely thrilled to introduce you to our next guest. She's a woman who has taken the path less trodden and carved out a niche for herself in an industry that is traditionally male-dominated. Ladies, let's welcome Ellie, the founder and CEO of HealEntrepreneurs.com. Welcome, Ellie. It's fantastic to have you with us today.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here as well, and thank you for having me on your podcast.
Welcome, and I absolutely love HealEntrepreneurs.com, so a very, very well chosen name for your business. So can you tell us a little bit about your background and the journey that had you establish it?
Okay, so I'm from France. I moved to the US a couple of years ago, and I grew up within fashion. I love fashion. I'm from Paris, so I love fashion from a young age. Then my brother started a company, but that was into hair. I've done some modeling myself, so I love everything, branding, marketing, all of this. So then here, I think it was during COVID, I just started it as a page to empower female entrepreneurs because I love to empower my friends. And then I started mixing it with branding and marketing, and I had so many questions about it. So then I was just giving free advice, and like this, the company agency started as a marketing agency, and then I just branched out into PR since, again, I said that about everything fashion, so I know also about PR. That's how HealEntrepreneurs started, and yeah, I love it so far.
It's awesome. That's really good to know. So also many of our listeners would be curious to know, what is the mission of HealEntrepreneurs and how does it align with your personal values?
Okay, so the mission of HealEntrepreneurs is really to help businesses to be seen and attract the target audience, but in a different way. I took my French background and my French, like I was born and raised in France. So over there in France, I see like everything is really aesthetic, chic, as you may say. So it's a different type of aesthetic that people do love and enjoy about friends, and I wanted to bring the French touch into my business. So that's why it aligned with me, my personality. So I'm different than other PR marketing agency because it's really French touch. Like my clients would say, when I work with them, the branding, the aesthetic, attention to detail. I just don't want to do anything like anyone else. It's really attention to detail and making sure that you connect with your target audience as a business owner.
That actually resonates a lot because every time I see US businesses, they have a more of a casual feel to them. They don't have as much as a chic presence, which your website typically speaks of. Like I visited it before recording the podcast and I was like, oh my God, this has an impression on me. And I was very much, I was influenced by it. And when I was looking for another website to start, I was like, maybe stilettos and strategies make a lot of sense because the Heel of Entrepreneurs did that. So commendable on what you have achieved with it. You're welcome. So I think starting a business always comes with a share fair of challenges, right? Every time you want to start something new, would you like to share with us what are some of the most significant hurdles that you have faced when you were starting HealEntrepreneurs and how did you overcome them?
Okay, so challenges as a business owner, it's many. And I think it's solving a problem every day. It can be like how to reach your sales goal. It can be an issue with a client. It can be an issue with like fulfillment, the services, everything. So I think there's challenges every single day and there's still going to be challenges. So I think when I started the business, I knew and I was aware that there are going to be challenges. I didn't go there like, oh my gosh, it's just going to be perfect. Everything will just hit right away. But one thing I learned is like a deal is never closed until it's closed. All the time, I mean, in the beginning, at least at first, I was just talking with people and they're like, okay, like we're going to sign the contract and something can happen in between. So at first I was like, oh my God, what did I do wrong? I was disappointed. And I was just questioning myself. And you know, the imposter syndrome, I was like, oh my gosh, is it really what I'm supposed to do? So you start doubting yourself when it's just part of it. So it's normal and it's okay if you doubt yourself, even though you have experience, even though you're an expert. That's one of the challenges I have to overcome, is just this imposter syndrome, when I feel like maybe I shouldn't be the one working with these clients, or maybe they should work with a well-known agency or someone else. So I have a lot of imposter syndrome and doubting myself. And I think at a point when I was seeing the feedback from the clients I was working with, and they was just giving me the positive, they enjoy working with me, they enjoy their services, they're happy and seeing results coming in, now I started to be like, okay, build confidence. So I think there's a lot of challenges like that come with starting a business, and making sales is one of them. And it comes with the confidence in knowing that you're not asking for a sale because you want to take people money, but because you give them value. So see it as an exchange of energy or an exchange of value and services. So that's the biggest challenge that we set for me.
Yeah, you have actually brought up one of the best things that I think people need to think about, is that mindset, right? Understanding that not everything is going to be unicorns and rainbows. There is going to be challenges. You are going to have problems when you have a business, and going with that mindset that you will be facing them and you will have to figure out a way, stand on your toes and figure out how to fix those challenges, is something which is very important. So I really like the fact that you have come with that mindset to understand that, yes, it is not going to be easy. It's going to be difficult and you have to deal with it.
Absolutely. I think because of social media, and even though I work with on social media, people just see people like they see the overnight success, but they don't see like it took maybe years, months, and all the blood, sweat and tears before you see someone's success. So I don't think there's such a thing as overnight success. It's just like it happened overnight for you. It may happen overnight for you, but for that person, it took like 10 years in making. So
yes,
don't compare yourself with people on social media.
Exactly. Like you said, right? You were always working in fashion. You had your brother in the same industry and you were from France. So there were a lot of things that contributed to you actually doing the business the way you are. So it's not that it's just one day Heal of Entrepreneurs was not born. It has your entire personality behind it, which has been being shaped since the time you were born, and where you were born also has an impact on it. So well said. You have built a very successful business in a field that is often considered very male dominated. So what advice would you give our listeners who might be considering venturing into similar, like non-traditional paths? Any advice that you have for them?
Okay. You know what? That was so interesting because I never took a break. I mean, that's my personality. When I want something, I just pursue it. I don't take a pause to double check if it's female dominated, if it's male dominated, if it's minority. I'm just like, I want it, I go for it. I don't really care what's going on around me. So I even didn't know, maybe knew, but without knowing, being really aware that it's a male-dominated industry. It's just, to me, it's part of PR marketing, I go for it. So I think my advice would be to not be mindful of it, maybe aware, maybe more than me, but to not pay attention to it. Just focus on what you want to achieve. And like focus on the goal anyway, and that will bring you the confidence, because I think if you just think about it too much, it might break your confidence. And when you do something, your confidence is what's going to introduce yourself, is what can make you close the deal. I have clients that I gave the contract and the services with them because I was confident. And even though it was tough in the negotiation process, and it's true, sometimes I felt like, especially with male CEO of big companies, the way they talk and expect me to just lower my price and try. And I'm like, no, Astafirum, I know what I can achieve for your company. If it was another company with a male CEO or founder, I don't think you negotiate that much. So you can go work with them. I do not mind. So I stay 10 toes down into my pricing, into the quality of service I can provide. So I never be like, oh my gosh, you're treating me like this because I'm a woman. I just like, I treat them like, okay, this is a contract, this is a deal. It doesn't matter what assumption they have towards me. I'm just going to be confident on what I can provide. So I think I took the woman minority part out of the equation, and it gave me confidence to just close those deals even when they were tough.
Yeah, I think that's a very good thing, right? You should not be intimidated by the labels that it's a male-dominated industry.
Yes.
That it is, I am a minority, or there are not many people who represent the way I do. It's about the value and the exchange that you spoke about. It's about, I'm providing you services and I know how good I am. So either you work with me on my terms and conditions, or maybe you can find someone else, and not be intimidated by those tags, which a lot of people tend to be.
Yes, absolutely.
So do you have anything like, what were the most rewarding moments or achievements that Heal of Entrepreneurs did so far?
I think all my most, I don't have one in particular. It would be like anytime I'm just like helping a client reach his goals. So I started at first, especially small businesses, because that the companies I started with at first, solopreneurs, small businesses, I started to female entrepreneurs, that was my niche. Eventually, it grew to other people reaching out to me, and I'm like, no, I'm not working with only female entrepreneurs, small businesses. But so now when I do work with small businesses and female entrepreneurs, and I help them reach their goals because they don't necessarily have a huge marketing budget. So I'm trying to have a package for them, a startup package where we can help them get to that 10,000K a month mark, for instance, in revenue. And that's when they're just so happy and know that, oh my gosh, I did it. It's possible. We did it together. That's my biggest achievement, because I don't think I want to forget how I started, who helped me start my business. Those people believed in me when I was just new. And I think that was always going to be my biggest achievement, I think, and not necessarily the big companies, because of course they do have more marketing budget. And I think it's easier when someone has high, like more money for marketing than someone doesn't have much, and the creativity. So it needs more creativity to make something happen. So those are my biggest achievement that I'm proud of.
Yeah. So I think that also is very much related to the next question that I have. Which is, you seem to have like built a community, right? Not just a business, but a community around it. And as you have said, that you did help not forget where you started from and who helped you, and you try and do the same thing for others. How integral has this community been in your success? Like, has it been a great part, is what I'm assuming?
Oh, yes, absolutely. As you said, I build a community because I love empowering, supporting female entrepreneurs. So on my Instagram page, it's a really community. It's more community. You do have a PR and the marketing aspect of it, but most of it is really the community. And this community just grew and keep growing, and they're supporting me. So anytime I can make a post, or I just tell them to tag their pages so they hear, and they even like, okay, oh my gosh, I want to work with you. When they can afford it, they just buy digital products, or sometimes they just like, let me focus, I give them free advice so they can make a certain amount of money, and then they come and invest this money with me. So they're a huge part of my success, I think. And like, and also my clients, when they go and check my community and they're seeing people engaging and my followers on Instagram, it's just even build the trust faster into knowing that, yeah, I know what I'm doing. So they're a huge, huge, huge part of my success.
Yeah, typically it helps, right? Instead of just trying to sell services, you are trying to build a community. You're trying to nurture people along the way. And that makes them feel good. That makes them feel confidence and trust factor it builds, so that they can actually trust you with their company and their brands, right? Basically, they are trusting you with their brands, with trying to grow their brands, and you tend to become like the person who is helping them build those brands. So it makes a lot of sense. So as a successful female entrepreneur, how are you using this position to mentor and inspire other women, like in the leadership roles? Do you have that structure at your organization? How do you tackle it?
I love to, I love to work with female entrepreneurs. I love to even have in like a high position role. That's something I'm planning on doing, especially in the future. As I'm growing, to have like, yeah, female in leadership position, because I think, as you said, even those, I'm very much aware of that it's really male dominated, and I would love my COO to be a female, for instance, and just like also the manager position of saying like, if a man qualifies for the position in the interview, I'm not gonna choose a female just because it's a female. But I think female do qualify, and most of the time in organization, they don't choose them because they're female. So I would love to have an interview of a spectrum of other people, but if a female is more qualified, definitely she's gonna have a position. I don't think I would be like, okay, it's more for male. So it's really empowering and helping each other. And because as female society just raises to be against each other, I just want to be like collaboration over competition. And I also love to collaborate with other female entrepreneurs in the same industry and sector as me. There is this female entrepreneurs, her name, the brand name is like Meja Alaka. She's based in New York. I found her on Instagram, and she's a marketing agency, so we kind of do the same thing. But always, sometimes I share one of her content, empower, supporting, following her. Like, I love, I think collaboration over competition is better. There's room for each one of us to grow. So I'm not into a competitive mode. So I think that's something we should do as female and just supporting each other.
I think the way you put it is collaboration over competition is the best thing, because yes, there is a lot of room for everybody. And rather than fighting for your share, you help it building someone else. And that also shows a lot on your character and builds trust. So really agree with you on that one. We did talk a little bit about this, but I would like to get this back, which is importance of consistency, skill, and persistence on entrepreneurial success, right? A lot of people actually see that overnight success and think and assume that it has happened overnight, but it has not. There is a lot more that goes behind the scenes. And how have these values kind of helped you with growing Heal of Entrepreneurs?
Oh, wow. It's, again, it's consistency, persistency. It's, you need to put in the work every day. If you're not willing, because I think a lot of time people say, oh my gosh, I want to quit my 9 to 5 so I can be my own boss, work 3 hours a day. That's not the reality of entrepreneurship. It's 24/7. It never stops. Even when you don't work, in your mind, you're always thinking about, okay, this thing to do next day, or how you can improve the business, or how you can improve the system. So it's 24/7 job, it never stops. Plus consistency at first when you don't see the results. If you give up, you're not gonna get successful. So I think consistency is like keep going even when you don't see the result. And if you have, I think the best advice would be to have a strategy, because if you don't have a strategy in place and you're just doing the work without knowing why you're doing it, that's how you're gonna be frustrated. If you have a strategy in place, you can double check and be like, okay, this is working, this is not working. Let me remove what's not working and continue with what's working. Adjust. I always say adjust, double check, adjust, keep going, and eventually you will see the result. But consistency, it's one of the most important parts. Like my friend would tell you, they were every single day, I was working on a business and sacrifice. I'd be like, I cannot make it to this event. I cannot come to the party. I cannot do this. I have to work, I have to work, I have to work. So on also, just to touch base on this, if someone has a 9 to 5, I do not advise you to quit your 9 to 5 to only focus on your business. I think like you should keep your 9 to 5 because you're gonna pay your bills, work on your business in the morning, wake up earlier or during the evening after work hours, So like this, you don't have the stress because business is not stable. When you just get started, you may make $1,000 a day, $0 the next day. So you don't want to add the stress on not having money to live because you just have your business. So keep your 9-to-5 to pay your bills, focus on growing your business, and the day that your business is at this stage when you can like pay for your life or your bills or your lifestyle, but at least you have 3-6 months in advance to pay for your lifestyle, then maybe you can quit 9-to-5. But don't listen to people on the internet telling you to quit your 9-to-5 and come become an entrepreneur. You're going to make $10,000 in a month or two. Nah, most likely not going to happen. So
yeah, there's no such thing as easy money or easy lunch. You have to kind of be willing to work for it and also put in some amount of dedication into it, like sacrifice your outside time, sacrifice some time with your family or the entertainment time that you have and use it to grow your business so that you can actually, so that it can pay your bills, right? Because it's not consistent, the income is not consistent, and for it to be consistent, it takes some time from an effort from your end. And I also like the fact that strategizing is an important part. Like, people don't typically think about it. They don't have like a content calendar which says that every week, every month, this is what we are going to do and how we are going to grow. Having that strategy is very important because then it's like a roadmap to success, which you keep hitting on the milestones and you will eventually get there, or you will learn from it. If it's good, then yes, it is going to be a success. If it's not, then you learn from it, you adjust and you move on. So it makes, all the points that you kind of bring up actually is how people are supposed to do it. But typically there's a lot of noise that tells them otherwise, right? Which is like, no, you will make a lot of money and you cannot have your like 2 feet in 2 different boats. You have to be in one is what people typically tell you, but that's not how life works. You need to have your feet in 2 places so that you can actually make sure that you're not drowning in something.
Absolutely.
But I feel you have had a very successful journey. Is there anything that when you look back on, do you think that there is something that you would have done differently or something that you would like to change maybe?
To be honest, no, because I'm also a person in life when people say, do you have any regrets? I'm like, no, because I think that I am who I am because of the mistakes that I made. So my business is where it is today because of the mistake that I made in the beginning, and I learned from it. And I also believe that when I made the decision, I didn't know better. So it's too easy for me now that I know better to be like, oh my God, I should have done this way. But I didn't know better at that time. So I cannot be mad at my past me for the choices that I made. So I have no regrets, and that's what led me to where I am today. So I don't think there's anything I would have done differently, because I wouldn't have known how to do them differently then, if it makes sense.
Yeah, it certainly does, right? Because at that time, the amount of information and the circumstances that you were in, those were the decisions that you took. As you keep moving on, as you keep growing, it's easy to turn back and say that, oh, that's not how it was supposed to be done, but then nope, not at all. That's not how life works, right? Because at that point in time, whatever cards you were dealt with, that was the best decision that you could have made.
Yes.
And there's no point beating yourself over it anyways, because it's over. You learn. But the good thing is to learn from it, like you highlighted, that you learn from your mistake and you move on. And your mistakes are the ones that shape who you become as you keep growing.
Yes, and I think it's also important to point out that because as a business owner, you have to make decisions every day. And if you dwell and like, you know, oh my God, I should have not done that. And I always tell people, make a decision, stick to it, move on. Like, make a decision. If it works, good. If it doesn't work, learn from it, move on. But don't go and just rethink about the decision that you made. You're wasting time, and it's just your brain already has so much to focus on. So now just dwelling into the past and the decision that you made, it's okay. Make a decision, move on. Don't dwell too long and just regret. So,
yeah, because it kind of takes up on your energy, and that is why a lot of people end up burning out themselves and want to be out of it because they dwell on certain things for too long. It's like,
yeah,
it happened, it's over, now just move on. So what is next for you? Any exciting things happening at Heal of Entrepreneurs? Any new initiatives that you're taking that you would like to share with us?
Just continue growing it. I want to grow the community even furthermore. I also want to, again, as I say, like, can I share this? No, I'm just going to share a glimpse of it, but I want the agency to grow in a way when we have maybe pop-up content creation, like studio, when people can come and we can help them create content for their businesses in different locations. So like this, because I know content creation is so important into the marketing aspect of a business, but people don't necessarily know how to create the content. They don't necessarily have the resources. So maybe if we can have some pop-up where they can come and we have our photographer or videographer and they can create them content for them, they can use for the brands. So that's something that we would definitely want to implement. So just to make access to small businesses affordable, of course, so they can create content for their businesses and just post it on the social media.
I can already imagine that your studio has very aesthetically pleasing vibe to it.
Yes.
Because of the importance of it being chic. So I can certainly vouch for the fact that whatever comes out of Heal of Entrepreneurs is going to be extremely chic and, you know, will have that aesthetic vibe to it. So I'm really excited, like, how your studios would turn out. You should actually give us an update and we would love to let that listeners know how your studios look like.
Absolutely. We'll send you all the information, pictures, videos, and yes.
So any pieces of advice, like typically I like to ask for like three pieces of advice for anybody who's starting out, who's venturing into business. I think you already did a good job of telling them that not to quit their 9-to-5, make sure that they can pay their bills, consistency. But any three things that you would like to highlight on and say that this is an absolute must when you're starting your new business?
Okay, I would say number one, maybe less planning, more doing. Because I know when you just get started, you just want to plan. And the fear holding you back from actual doing. So you might feel like because you're planning, you're doing something, but you're not doing. And you will never learn until you take actions. Again, you're going to make mistakes and that's okay. It's okay. So do it. Even if you don't feel like you're 100% ready, you will never be 100% ready. So less planning. I always tell people, yes, you need some planning, you need some strategy, but don't spend 80% of your time planning and you don't do anything. So less planning, more doing. That would be my number one advice. Second advice, I would say we touch base on consistency. I need to reboot this one, really be consistent. Consistency, it's what's gonna make your business be successful. So don't give up, keep going even on hard days. And number three, believe in yourself. Like believe in yourself, even though you don't feel like you know what you're doing, even though it doesn't feel like it's working out right now. Believe in yourself. God called you into doing that for a reason. You chose to start this business for a reason. So believe in yourself and keep showing up, and eventually it will pay off.
Yes, love the fact that don't wait for it to be 100% perfect. Even if it is 80% perfect, just put it out there, learn from the other 20% and then improve the next one, because that is how you're going to grow as well. If you do the 100% on the first attempt, then what are you growing into, right? There's nothing that you're growing into. So do that. And then certainly for women, they need to remember that we ourselves are our biggest cheerleaders. So believing in yourself is certainly very important, because we want to make sure that even if the outside world doesn't support you, you need to know that you are the one that actually needs to kind of support yourself and keep growing. Any last thoughts or messages that you would have for our listeners today?
Also, something I forgot to touch base on, because I know believing in yourself, as we say, it can be tough. Try to find some community, some mentorship, something and investing also in your business, because what I've seen in the beginning, people sometimes they want results, but they don't invest enough into themselves, their business, learning resources to help you grow as a person and grow your business. So I think like find a mentor, a community, read books into businesses, listen to podcasts such as yours, just like educate yourself into being a business owner, because that's a different field. And the school system taught us how to be a good employee, not necessarily how to become a business owner. So that's something I really want to touch base on, because if you want to grow personally and business-wise, you really need to become the person you want to be before you are that person. So become a business owner even before you see the success.
Yep, certainly. Do you have any list of books or podcasts that have been influential for you personally?
I love to read. I love to read, but let me think about top three that I could give. The Game of Life and How to Play It. Okay. I love this one. Rich Dad, Poor Dad, that's a classic one as well.
Yes.
And which one I can say top three? I love so many. I want to give like books that are like not so long to read when they just get started. Not 48 Laws of Power, it's a bit long. And Amar Rousseau, she's like, what's the name of her book? Because she has two. Do you know which one from Amar Rousseau?
No.
Okay, she's a founder of Nasty Gal.
Okay.
And she wrote a book on how like she started selling her clothes on eBay and how like she built that successful billion businesses, that she have a few. I forgot the name of this one I'm referring to. But if people can check it out, Amar Rousseau, she's a founder of Nasty Gal, so.
Yeah, I will also do some research on it, find out which book you're referring to, and then I'll put it in the show notes so that people can have it and they can listen to it. Perfect. Thank you. I really appreciate you giving us the time and your journey and your insights have been very, very empowering, because the way you have the capability not just to lead your business, but also talk about it and also show them even your personal values. I think that is something which is extremely great. So it's been an absolute pleasure on my end having a conversation with you. Your journey, insights, and your determination is truly inspiring. Thank you for joining us and sharing your incredible stories and insights. Thank you so much, Ellie.
Thank you for having me. That's such an amazing podcast, and I also love, love, love what you're doing. Such an inspiration. So continue inspiring others. And maybe we need to chat more and see what we can do together. Absolutely.
Definitely. I would love to collaborate with you, not compete, but then collaborate and then figure out how we can make it better for other female entrepreneurs. So thank you so much. And to all our listeners, it's your path, it's your journey and your business, whether it is conventional or not, you have the power to make it successful through consistency, skill, and perseverance. And until next time, stay inspired, stay curious, and keep pushing the boundaries.